This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, March 6th. A week of free agency just about in the books and a lot going on. Not only with the entire National Football League, but a lot going on in New England as players are coming and going. They're traded, they're signed, they're cut. And we have all of it. Ready to recap the week that was in Patriots Nation. And then at the end, we'll decide whether it was a good week, a bad week, or a push.
And our colleague Paul Perillo is on a big scouting mission this week.
Yeah, he's checking out the CAA.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you're going to get one of those
basketball.
Power forwards in a lower-level athletic conference that could be a tight end in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Could happen.
Yeah.
And that's with the budget we have, we're able to send Paul out on some of these scouting trips to look for the low-level finds.
Thought he was doing that on his dime.
Speaking of old guys, Fred Taylor is a New England Patriot. The first official move of free agency, the Patriots brought in Fred Taylor, who was cut a little bit earlier by the Jacksonville Jaguars. The 11-year veteran is now a Patriot, joins the committee backfield. I don't know what you can say other than good things about this move.
Mm-hmm.
11,000 yards in the National Football League. Not a ton of wear on the tires, even though he's considered a fragile guy. His carries have been limited over the last few years thanks to his splitting time with Maurice Jones-Drew with
the Jaguars. That's probably helped extend
and
his
And he's
career.
Healthy, no question. And he thinks he can get another couple of years out of it, been treating his body better than he did early in his career when he was fragile Fred mm-hmm. down in Jacksonville. I think it's a great move overall. We can talk about that more in a minute, but I want to keep run right all through the moves. Next day, the Patriots announced that they had indeed sent February 28th, Mike Vrabel and Matt Cassel to the Kansas City Chiefs in exchange for a second-round pick, number 34 overall in the draft. That deal has been much talked about. There are a lot of opinions out there. Not a lot of Patriots fans seem like they feel that the Patriots got the ultimate value for Cassel and Vrabel in that combo. But we'll get back to that again in a second because I want to do right on through.
Got a big list there.
Big list. Big pile of releases here. And they have that nice 50th season anniversary
logo
on it. Good
nice looking
logo. Patriots re-signed on March 2nd offensive lineman Russ Hochstein and signed tight end Chris Baker.
Hi there.
Yes, that's what Hochstein is famous for. He's also famous for starting the last two games last season at fullback, plays a little third tight end, plays a little guard, plays a little center, is a backup long snapper, and as I get a little later in this pile, you might need that backup long snapper because you don't have a starting long snapper. March 5th, Patriots re-signed linebacker Eric Alexander, who was scheduled to be a restricted free agent. Punter Chris Hansen, safety James Sanders, obviously the biggest move of the offseason to date. And they released linebacker Darrell Robertson, who was formerly of the practice squad and sort of joined to a futures contract onto the roster in the offseason. And then just yesterday, which was also the 5th, I guess, Patriots made a trade, another trade, 1 week, two trades. What is this new NFL we're talking about?
I like it.
They acquired wide receiver Greg Lewis from the Philadelphia Eagles, sending a fifth-round pick reportedly in this year's draft to Philadelphia, getting Lewis and a 2010 seventh-round pick reportedly back. Lewis is an interesting guy, has experience. I think everyone would agree is sort of in the mold of a Jabbar Gaffney. And you need him because Jabbar Gaffney, during this week that we just mentioned that was, signed with the Denver Broncos, seemingly where every Patriot goes to die. Lonnie Paxton also reached a 5-year deal to join the Broncos, $5 million, making $1 million per as, you know, one of the best and highest-paid long snappers in the game. And Lamont Jordan, our old friend from sleeping on the locker room floor in New England.
He woke up in time to sign the deal.
2-year, reported $2.5 million deal to join a now busy backfield in Denver that includes J.J. Arrington and Carell Buckhalter as Josh McDaniels continues to collect Patriots. And I want to talk about Greg Lewis. I think he is pretty interesting. We'll get back to some of the earlier moves, but is he a guy, Eric, that you think can be productive in this system? He had one good year, which was the first half of the year, basically, before T.O. blew it up in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
He had 48 catches that season, more than half of them coming in like the first six games where it was he and T.O. and they were putting up yards and points and everything. Since then, 24, 13, and 19 catches over the last 3 years, respectively, was actually a healthy scratch in the postseason last January. Can be a special teamer, first career touchdown against the Patriots in Super Bowl 39.
Mm-hmm.
career-high 88 yards for most of his career until he had a 100-yarder last season, came against the Patriots in 2007. What do you expect from young Greg Lewis?
Well, we were kind of joking about this yesterday, that all he's ever done is good things against the Patriots. So in
that's
the Wes Welker
recipe.
Type of mold, that if you can't
he
beat him,
catch 110 balls next year and be
you.
In a Pro Bowl?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
But
6'0", 180, by the way.
Yep. About the same size as Gaffney,
yeah.
Give or take.
Just one of those tweener guys, not a smurf like Welker and Deion Branch, but not a big play, big target like a Moss or a some of those guys.
It seems to me they've gotten Gaffney with some special teams ability.
Right.
I don't really see much difference between the two players. This was a guy who barely even started it as a senior at Illinois.
Right.
From what we learned.
Undrafted free agent.
Undrafted free agent. So can he
be
productive?
A team in Philadelphia that's always looking for receivers is sort of dumping him.
Yeah.
I know they have DeSean Jackson now.
But
they've always been, their offense has always been McNabb and Westbrook. It was very good when T.O. was there, but they've always sort of been searching for receivers, and he was never able to take that proverbial bull by the horns and really do much.
I would be pleasantly surprised if he were to flourish in the system. I think they're doing it more for adding bodies to the roster.
31 catches, under or over?
Under.
Under. Wow, low expectations, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, me too. I think he'll be a nice little player.
Sure.
I think he's better than what you had because at this point, before this trade, Sam Aiken was your three, and your four was Matthew Slater, Ray Ventrone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot there. They lose Jabari Gaffney to free agency. They cut Kelly Washington.
Yeah.
So you basically have Moss and Welker and nothing. Greg Lewis is a serviceable, experienced veteran receiver. Supposedly is a good route runner, which will endear him to Belichick.
He is a nice little player.
Tom Brady will probably like him because he'll be where he wants him to be. Mm-hmm. He'll probably make some catches, probably drop some balls. I just think he's going to be a guy that fits in as a compliment to the offense.
A compliment. I would be stunned if he is the number three guy going into week one of the regular season.
He may be the number three guy. All I'll say is I'll be stunned if he's an impact guy. I think Dante Stallworth had an impact in that role two years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
Catching the ball, breaking some tackles. Didn't have huge numbers, but I thought he had an impact. Whereas I thought
and a great
this
after
year,
the catch.
Yes. I thought this year Jabari Gaffney sort of had a negative impact where he had the chance to make big plays in that role and didn't. So be interesting to see what Greg Lewis can do. We have some other goings to talk about. A guy I'm pretty surprised by. Heath Evans is an ex-New England Patriot, signed a two-year deal with the Saints to be their fullback and special teamer and jack-of-all-trades. He's a guy that loved it here, always talked about he wanted to be a Patriot, and seemed willing, basically, to take anything they'd offer.
Not 2 weeks ago, he said, I'm looking forward to re-signing and maybe even ending my career here.
Sounds like the Patriots went in a different direction because I think he would have taken the veteran minimum to stay. And apparently that wasn't on the table, and he was able to get something and get a job in New Orleans, so I wish him the best. As you say, he's a religious man, and now he's a saint.
Yes. Appropriate.
Yes.
Maybe that factored into his decision.
And now we're going to get to the rumor mill, which sounds like a lot more than rumor. It just hasn't been officially announced. Sean Springs, veteran cornerback, a veteran of 13 seasons, 33 years old, former first-round pick, Ohio State guy, long 7-8 years with the Seahawks, the last few 4 or 5 years in Washington. I believe 33 career interceptions or 32 career interceptions.
Yep.
Been very productive. Sort of became expendable. They have Carlos Rogers in Washington, and they obviously have D'Angelo Hall on a new $50-plus million contract. Looking at his size here, 6'0", 207, so a little bit bigger than the normal Patriot Smurf cornerback.
I like the move.
I do, too.
I like the move for a couple of reasons. One, this sort of been a trend the last few years, bring in a veteran corner, not necessarily of a big a name as Springs, but you bring in a guy,
Fernando
Bryant, Delta O'Neal, they had some name recognition before. Yeah. I think this is, of the signings that you can include him in, this is the biggest one.
I would say, I think he's the most purely talented. I don't know what he has left in the tank.
Number three overall pick in the 97 draft. The guy had skills.
Right.
And he's shown it.
And he's been a productive NFL corner. He might not be great.
No doubt.
But when you put up 30 picks, you've been a productive NFL corner. You've started for a couple teams. I heard people talking on the radio locally yesterday saying, oh, they wanted Lee Bodden and this isn't blah, blah, blah. I still don't really get
had him.
Lee Bodden. Now, I think Lee Bodden probably asked for too much. My read on the situation is when they bring in a guy in, they want him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he leaves and goes elsewhere, it means they weren't close on an agreement. He is looking for something they're not willing to give him. Mm-hmm. So they go next step, Sean Springs, next in line.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a good move. I still think you need to draft a corner in the first one or two picks of the draft.
Yep.
And you have your two returning guys from last year, and you have Ellis Hobbs. I think you can fill that out with a couple mid-experience guys with Hobbs and the two guys from last year, Wheatley and Will Hite. You add a rookie. You add a guy like Sean Springs, who's
sure.
a veteran. Now you're putting together a competitive training camp. I'm not going to pretend Asante Samuel is back or anything of that nature,
right.
but you're putting together some competition in training camp to
right.
see what you can come up with.
Right. And unlike the Lewis move, I would not be very surprised if Springs is starting on one side
right.
or the other come week one.
Today, I pencil him in. I mean, that's
sure.
obviously in erasable ink or whatever, but I think you pencil him in as a starter and go from there. Now, maybe we get to training camp and say, he doesn't have it. He looks like he's played 26 seasons
yeah.
and is old and his hips are stiff and he's not the same guy. But based on his resume and his physical tools, sure, I'll place him atop the depth chart for now.
Yeah, I think it's a good move overall.
And let the young guys compete and knock him
let
off.
Let him compete.
They
yeah.
knock him off, they knock him off.
And at worst, you have Hobbs on one side, you have either Wheatley or Will Hite maybe on the other side, and you have an experienced veteran to come in and either substitute or play nickel or whatever. And he has good size, like you mentioned, 6 feet, 200. That's a little bit bigger than what we're used to having
mm-hmm.
a corner around here. Overall, I can't find anything bad about the move.
Okay. So if I were to summarize the first week,
mm-hmm.
I'd say you lost some complimentary pieces, Heath Evans, Jabbar Gaffney.
Yep.
You added some complimentary pieces, Chris Baker,
Fred Taylor.
Greg Lewis. Fred Lewis, I think, is a little bit more than complimentary.
Greg Lewis.
Fred Taylor?
Yeah, you said Fred Lewis.
Oh.
You combined the two players.
Oh, well, I mean Fred Taylor. I think he's more than complimentary. I think he could be a impact player in this offense. I think he could have some big plays and really add a dynamic to the running game that's sort of been missing when Lawrence Maroney's not out there
mm-hmm.
because I think he brings that big play ability. I think Taylor can bring it more consistently, especially working with the Moss, Welker, Brady offense and the focus on the passing game. But still, Patriots fans are left a little underwhelmed because they had visions of first-round picks dancing in their minds all offseason,
mm-hmm.
and they certainly did not have visions of Mike Vrabel being cut, as we are led to believe he was going to be cut before getting a March 2nd $1 million roster bonus had he not been included in this deal.
Mm-hmm.
How do we summarize that, Eric? How do we tell Patriots fans it's going to be all right, they got a decent trade, let's move forward?
I will make them feel better this way. 2 years ago, 2007 offseason, was one of the most memorable in history. They made the big splash on day one, or that first weekend, signing Adalys Thomas. That was sort of the big news of that first week. Then they added some pieces here, the Stallworths, the Kelly Washingtons, made some moves here and there. But it wasn't until April at the NFL draft when they made the biggest move, trading for Randy Moss. Okay? This is sort of has the same feel to that offseason, where they made some moves. Fred Taylor was sort of a big-name move on the weekend. They made some...
Sounds like me. You're setting people up for, like, April 29th disappointment, because if there's not a Julius Peppers or
well,
someone of that nature
where I was
coming
going.
Down the pike, they're going to say, hey, Eric said wait till the draft, and I'm still mad.
I'm saying that there has this feeling like there's more to come. I just have
what
this feeling like...
What if it never comes?
Well, then I'll be disappointed. But I have this sense that that the way this has shaken out so far, they've been active enough that they're setting themselves up to do something bigger. So I'm looking at this is just the beginning.
Okay. I am okay with it even if nothing more comes. If they truly were going to cut Vrabel, then he's a non-issue. He's a throw-in in the trade. And you got a high second-round pick, and more importantly to them, I think, cap space. You eliminated
yep.
the $14.65 million from your cap,
mm-hmm.
allowed you to do some of these minor moves. James Sanders, which I think is an important part of your secondary, a budding guy who I think – maybe not Rodney Harrison, but I think he can be a playmaker for you to some degree. All of this coming afterwards, you needed that cap space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Randy Moss reportedly restructured to help them with the Fred Taylor thing, so they were up against it. I think that you took the best deal you could get. Sure, if you had waited longer, there might have been more out there, but you know what? Then you might have lost out on the Chiefs deal. You might have been left holding Matt Cassel in that $14 million. You did what you had to do. You got it done quick, and you moved on. I think Bill Belichick is a decision maker, and once he decides on something, boom, I'm not going to regret it. I'm going to move on. I think he did that, and that's why I have one last question. Will he make a decision on a man that goes by two single letters, T-O?
My answer is two single letters. N-O.
It's my quarterback.
That's his quarterback. He wants Tom Brady. He's talking about Brady there. He wants Brady to be his quarterback. He's sick of people showing these images of Tom on the balcony with
Giselle.
Taking
him out of context.
No, he saw Tom with his shirt off on the balcony with Giselle.
And he said.
And he can't believe people are taking shots at him. Right, T.O.? Okay. Two gender taking the rest
get
of
rid
the
of me.
Podcast.
Trade
off.
Me. Release me.
Oh, they did.
See, now he doesn't want to play here.
It's my quarterback.
Okay. All these exciting moves. Would T.O. make you excited or fearful?
Fearful. Okay. Unequivocally. Just because of his track record.
I take the
other
side.
He's done
nothing. 1 year. Excite me for 1 year. A 1 year, no guaranteed money, low money deal. Bring him in. Boy. He's never blown up a team in a single year. It's always year two when people get in trouble and they keep him around.
Brilliant!
Bring
Brilliant.
Him in. He crawls into the locker room. He kissed Tom Brady's feet. He kisses Bill Belichick's feet.
Oh, boy.
He goes out and he makes plays, and then we kick him to the curb and say thank you for a great season when this 2009 offense puts up numbers that would make the 2007 group jealous.
All I'll say to that is if that were the case, if you had Moss, Welker, Owens, Fred Taylor's going to gain 2,500 yards. Because
I like
there's, there's nobody's going to be in the box
like
trying to stop him.
I like it. That's why we're putting it together. But that's enough for the rumor chat. There's a lot of actual news that we talked about in this podcast. Fred Taylor's a Patriot.
Yes, good.
Matt
good
Castle word. Is not, but they have an extra second-round pick. Now
right.
three second-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Lewis is your new third receiver to replace Jabbar Gaffney. Who left? Lonnie Paxton gone. James Sanders back. Russ Hochstein back. Chris Baker in.
Heath Evans out.
Anything else I'm missing? That was a long week.
Did you say Chris Hansen, punter?
Chris Hansen back, the punter.
Yeah.
You're
Eric Alexander.
Him. Eric Alexander back. The moves are getting less notable by the minute. But anyway, they are moves, and that's what we do here on the Patriots.com roster reports. We tell you everything that's happening with the roster. It won't always be as exciting as this week, but we will leave them with Eric if the words Terrell Owens or Julius Peppers enter the New England lexicon
it's
in the coming
get
weeks.
Exciting.
It'll still be exciting for Eric Scalavino. I'm Andy Hart. Paul Perillo off on a scouting mission.
Mm.
That's your podcast for this week.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.